I'm grateful and thankful for all that God is doing. It makes me so happy. But if I'm going to be honest with you, recently I saw a picture of myself in the foyer. Yeah, I know, right? Nobody wants to see a picture of me. But what made me look at this and do a double take is that I happen to know what day that was on. Because I was smiling and I was, you know, like posing for a picture. I had my arm around a few people. We were just standing there taking a picture. And as I looked into the camera, I remember thinking to myself, if everyone only knew the phone call I just had. My heart was broken and I was just a mess, and I kind of put myself together and I kind of just made it happen. Because you know what? We all like feel like we gotta just make it happen sometimes, right? We gotta, you know, kind of paint the smile on our face and walk through and just kind of be brave and do life, because that's what we're supposed to do. We've gotten so good at just kind of putting the front on that sometimes we don't even realize that we're actually trying to hide something on the inside. Something that hurts, something that has wounded us deeply, or just the fact that our life is not how we want it to be. And so we get used to walking around with this mask. And as we start off a brand new series today called The Masks We Wear, today I want to talk about that smile that is on our face, but I want to look behind the smile for just a few minutes. You know, the photo I took, the truth is that we've all been wearing some type of mask. We know what it's like to wear the mask. And sometimes our mask is, you know, that statement, I'm fine, right? You know, we don't want anybody to know that we're not fine. And so we say, if we say I'm fine enough, then we're going to be fine, right? If we just kind of fake it until we make it, then we're going to be all right. We can just kind of say it and claim it, you know, even though it's not true for our lives. But the problem is that when everybody around us wears a mask, including us, then nobody gets healed from the inside out. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that Jesus called his people to wear a mask. I believe that Jesus called his people to actually be people authentically and genuinely filled with joy and peace. If you believe that, say amen. If you are guilty of wearing a mask, say amen. If you need to come down to the altar, say amen. Well, this concludes the message today. Come on forward. You've made my job so easy. You know, the trouble is, as I look across America, I look, you know, across social media, I see all that's happening in the world. You know, we see Charlie Kirk, we see all the floods of, believe it or not, millennials and Gen Z coming back to the faith. We're blown away. But the scary thing to me is that even though these people realize inside of themselves, and by the way, we realize inside of ourselves that we need Jesus, because there's got to be something more. There's got to be something better. There's got to be something bigger. We believe that. The problem is that we can only see on the outside. We see that person that's actually living a spirit-filled life, and we want that so badly. We recognize that's true, and so we try to start patterning our life around it, but we do it in our own selves, in our own strength, in our own ability, because we don't understand what it actually takes to be actually authentically filled with hope, to be filled with joy in his peace. And so we kind of copy it, and that's the mask that we wear. But I want us to do something more. I want us to do something better. I want us to actually take the mask off and allow the Lord to come in and heal us from the inside out and give us the peace and the hope that we need in order to live that authentic life that Jesus has actually called us to live, not just the fake one, but the real one. And I believe that that's for you today, here. And it doesn't matter what kind of mask you put on. I believe that the Lord wants us to take it off and walk away from this place actually joyful, actually healed, actually set free, actually with peace in our lives. So as we go into this, I want us to turn our attention to Scripture and talk a little bit about what Jesus had to say about all of this mask business. We're going to find ourselves in Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 27. And I want to paint the picture for you really quickly as Jesus is having this conversation. We're about a week out of his crucifixion, and he's speaking to these religious leaders called Pharisees. And these people were incredibly good at wearing the mask, okay? They knew exactly what to do in every situation. They knew what to say in every situation. They were religious people, so they were dressed the part. They knew how to make everybody think everything in their life was put together. They were the people that everybody looked at that said, if I was perfect, that's what I would look like. But as Jesus was speaking to them, we find out that there's a different story altogether here. And he shared not just out of criticism, but in the way only that Jesus could, out of compassion and complete truth-telling, and let them know that the way they were living their life was actually not life that he's called us to live at all. It was actually death painted up to look like life. We're going to find out what he said here when we look into what this is in a little deeper way. Because these people were so used to putting on the mask and living out that lie in front of them that they forgot all about the fact that there was still a need inside of their heart and their life. And I wonder how many of us today are here and you've gotten so used to putting the smile on, so used to saying you're fine, so used to doing all the things that we do to try to look like we have it all together, that you have forgotten that you're hurting and you're not doing it, you're falling apart on the inside. And every once in a while, even though you do really good, you're a professional at trying to make it look like you have it all together. Every once in a while, it just starts sloshing out. You get mad and blow up here, and you're gripped with anxiety over here, and over here you know that you're bitter over here, and there's nothing that you can do. Just like these religious leaders. You see, they had this thing that Jesus pointed out, this hypocritical nature, this thing about whitewashed tombs. Before we read the passage, I want to actually give the illustration to you, and then I want to go back and read the passage. See, instead of whitewashed tombs, it was like if we had a trash can. You know, if we were represented as a trash, not like, you know, the grungy, dirty kind, but, you know, like the nice-looking, clean-looking trash cans like we have at Christ's Legacy, right? Because, I mean, like, for the most part, our trash cans are pretty nice-looking. I mean, okay, we don't have to imagine what it looks like. I've got one right over here. See, I mean, right here, there's this trash can. And, you know, it's just a typical trash can. I mean, this trash can is clean enough that I could literally lick off of it. I did. Oh, none of you are going to believe anything I have to say the rest of the sermon because I just did that, right? He's crazy. No, it's all right. I've got it wiped down with like enough sanitizer, right? That now like I'm literally being cleaned from the inside out. No, I'm just joking. But here's the thing. Our lives are that clean on the outside. Really, truly, I mean, if you look, everything is great, right? We all have joy, all have peace, all are just, everything is wonderful. I mean, if you looked at a picture of our lives, like we would look like we're frolicking through the forest, right? No? No? See, because even if on the outside it looks clean, all you have to do is just kind of reach in and And you find Amazon packages and what else here? You know, sacks and, oh, you know, just nasty stuff. Oh, okay, here. Oh, yeah, this is, yeah, orange juice. I don't know what that is. Ugh. And let's see here. Anybody like coffee? Excuse me for a second. little caffeine shot, right? And what about, oh, what is that? Ugh. Somebody's breakfast. See, anything else in here? Ugh, yuck. It's gross, right? It's what's on the inside. You know, we get so good at cleaning the outside, but we forget that it's a trash can and that it's gross, filled with horrible things. And we think that maybe coming to church, we should just kind of reach our hand in there and just kind of push it on down to make space for a little bit of Jesus, right? Because Jesus is what you add to your life. The reality is that this is far too many people. And it's people that are dealing, maybe even here this morning, with real problems and real pain and real trauma, things that have been controlling their life for a long time, things like gossip. And lust. You know why we used a banana peel for lust? It's a slippery slope. Come on, you can laugh at that, people. That's funny. What about this? Anger. Man, that's a tough one. Have you ever been so angry, you just walk around and yell at everybody, and when you stop, you I'm not trying to be whatever, but you laugh a little bit because you don't even know why you're angry or why you just yelled. My kids don't find it funny. I do sometimes because I'm like, what's wrong? What is wrong with me? Anger. This doesn't have a word on it, but we all can understand what it looks like whenever we see a coffee filter without any coffee, pure disappointment. And prejudice. And we just kind of push it on down in there because we've gotten used to it because we want to try to keep the outside of the can clean. There's no way I'm going to lick this now. Don't worry about it. Because it's not clean anymore. It's gross. And I just kind of wonder, what did Jesus say about this? See, he said that we were polished and pretending. We were polished and pretending. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurities. Wow. He's not speaking to Gentiles. He's not speaking to the Romans. He's not speaking to, the people on the bad side of the town. He is speaking to religious leaders here. People that look like they have it all together on the outside, but the reality is on the inside, they were garbage mixed with death. And it's shocking. See, it's shocking because these religious leaders in that moment knew exactly what Jesus was saying. In their culture, they had these tombs that they would lay people to rest in that had passed away, and they would roll a stone over because they knew on the other side of that they were going to be decomposed, and they were smelly. It was gross. It was horrible. And it broke their heart because they knew that person. And so it was like, we don't want to look at it. We don't want to think about it. And so what they did was they would take white paint and they would paint it a gleaming white, sparkly white. They would decorate all around it so that in some way they would decorate death in their lives. And maybe, just maybe, they would forget about it. But can I tell you something? That no matter how much paint, no matter how much decoration, no matter how much garden is all around it, it doesn't change what's on the inside. And so often we struggle, we try to make everything look right on the outside. But honestly, if we think about it for a little while, we get sick because we realize that we can't do anything in our own. We need and we must rely on the Holy Spirit and ask Him to come on the inside of our heart and to begin to clean us from the inside out. Because can I tell you something? That you can't do it on your own. Half of our life is spent trying to figure out how to get all that stuff out. But the more I try to mess with it, the dirtier my hands get. The more I try to mess with it, the more it leaches out to other people. Can I tell you that we're not called just to move it around on the inside? Now we're dealing with anger. We can only see anger. Now we're only dealing with bitter. No, God has called us to come out of this broken world and into His love and His grace, where He literally comes in and cleans us from the inside out, so that no longer do we have to paint the outside to make it look nice. He cleans us out so that the inside is nice and we're filled with joy and filled with love and filled with peace. It's not fake, it's real. And there's a lot of people in here that need to hear that today. It's a real thing. You don't have to fake it, because Jesus is inviting us to let go of the mask that we wear and keep Him, allow Him to do the work inside of us. It's not you that does it. It's not a 12-step program. It's not a better self-help book. It's not the right kind of a pastor or teacher or leader. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's nothing but Jesus. I have nothing against people that want to help you. I have nothing against pastors and leaders and teachers and trying to do better for yourself. But can I tell you something? That if it's all of that but Jesus, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It has to be Jesus. And if we're honest with ourselves and with God, we have to admit that we have trash in our lives that we've all tried to deal with in many, many ways. But we can't manage the lie on our own. We can't keep up the facade forever. It's going to break, it's going to crack, it's going to fall off, and everybody's going to see that we deal with the anxiety, the anger, the fear, the bitterness, the gossip. We deal with all of this stuff. We're imperfect people. We have to invite Jesus into those empty spaces in our life, just like opening up this trash can and letting the sun shine in and cleaning it all out. Truth is, if I get it as clean as I want it, it wouldn't be a trash can anymore. It'd be a flower pot, right? There's some people here that would pay large amounts of money to feel pure again. Large amounts of money to feel clean again. Some people would be willing to do anything to snap their fingers and make their trouble leave. To make it feel like on the inside you don't have to feel guilty or ashamed about what you've did, about what you did or what has gone on in your life. But can I tell you something? That when Jesus comes in and cleans us from the inside out, that He removes the stigma. He removes the guilt. He removes the shame. The Bible tells us that all things pass away, like that old person passes away, and He creates a new person in its place that is untouched by all of this sin, not because of anything that we did, but because all of what Jesus did on our behalf. That's what we meant when we were down here talking about the sacrifice of Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross. That it was instead of me, instead of you, it was him. And that means that the victory is all about him. That means that the clean life is all about him, and it didn't have anything to do with me. All you and I have to do is simply this, come to him in honesty. The problem is that pride is the thing that holds the mask on. Pride's the little string tied tight on the back that keeps the mask right in place, because we are so afraid that somebody's going to look at us and think, man, they really didn't have it together. Can I remind you that the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? There is no one righteous, none, not one. Sir, ma'am, the word all means, there you do. My goodness. The pride that you have that keeps that mask on looks ridiculous on you. That's the thing that keeps you from being genuine, authentic, and it's the thing that keeps Jesus from coming in and cleaning you inside out. When you drop the pride and admit that you've sinned, that you've fallen short of his perfection, because can I be honest with you? Super easy to fall short of his perfection because it's perfect. That's the moment Jesus says, all right, he's got the mask off. She's got the mask off. I can do my job. So lose the pride. Reject the old way of life. Repent of all of the trash and invite the Lord to come in and clean you from the inside out. And one of the best things about this is that Jesus doesn't just clean you from the inside out, but he literally replaces all the trash with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You can't fake it. Have you ever gone to the store and tried to buy a fake fruit? If my kids want me to get them fake fruit, that's called candy, and it's not good for them. But the fruit of the Spirit is real, and it's genuine. It's good for the body, mind, and soul. And you can't fake it. You can't artificially grow it. It's only provided by the Holy Spirit. See, because when Jesus is inside of you, doing a real work of cleaning, then can I tell you something? That it's not a fake smile on your face, it's the genuine article. Jesus will save you, but a fake busted smile will never save you. See, smiles can't save it all. I've done a lot of pastoral care in my work, over 2 decades of pastoral ministry. That's a lot of hospital visits. And if I can tell you this, that whenever I go to a hospital, it never surprises me anymore that whenever I go to visit a saint that is nearing the end of their life, like literally looking on the edge of eternity into what's to come, I think to myself, I'm going to encourage them, but they're the ones that encourage me. Anybody ever had that experience before? You like felt so bad for them, and then they're like, you walk in like thinking that they're gonna be crying, and they're like, hey, you know, Jesus is getting ready for my party. Why is that? It's because people that are that close to eternity don't care about masks anymore. They don't need facades. They're gonna be genuine and honest. I want to tell you something, that smile won't save you. It's only Jesus that's going to save us. John chapter 14, verse 27 tells us exactly what it is at work inside of them that gives them the peace when Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift. Somebody say gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. In this passage, Jesus is offering us and his followers the gift of peace. And it's a gift that the world doesn't give, because the world's kind of version of peace is this idea of the absence of conflict. The absence of conflict. Can I tell you that that is not a great definition of peace? Because I don't know about you, but my life is never absent of conflict. I've got four kids. There's always conflict. There's always problems. There's always difficulties and situations. And so trying to put on a mask and pretend like everything's fine, it's like your mask is glass. And at the first sign of pressure, there's cracks. And whenever the problems actually do hit, it breaks and everybody's going to see what's on the inside anyway. But the peace that God gives us is a different kind of peace. It's not even the same definition. See, as Christians, sometimes we try and we hope, oh, Lord, come and take all the problems away. Come and take the situation. Come and take the temptation. Come and make me well. Come and do this. Come and do that. When all actuality is that Jesus said, I don't have to do that right now for you because I have given you peace that is peace regardless of the circumstances. See, that word peace there in Hebrew is a word called shalom. And we have heard that before, that word shalom. But I want to tell you what the actual technical theological definition is. It's a word that means wholeness and completion, nothing missing and nothing broken on the inside. Let me tell you something right now. The peace that Jesus gives us is peace despite the situation or circumstance. Peace despite the diagnosis. Peace despite the issues or the problem. Peace despite the finances. Peace despite all the other things that are going on in our life, because that's real and genuine. But the thing is that you can't get to His peace and His gift on your terms. Everybody wants that peace because that's real and authentic, but they want to just reach down and just push the trash down and make room for it, but that's not how it works at all. His peace comes on His terms and His terms only. When you come and you admit that the mask that you try to wear that tries to look and resemble peace is in fact an artificial creation of your own doing so that it will cover the sin and the shame that you bear. It'll cover the problem. It'll cover the issue for a little while. But friend, can I tell you something? That is not going to last at all. As a matter of fact, there's injury to your soul in doing so. The reality is this, that Jesus and His peace is not just for here and now, but it's forevermore. It's a glimpse, what scholars used to say, a foretaste of glory divine. That we are kingdom people. We're just not there yet. But His peace is a glimpse of a future to come. A wonderful glimpse. See, this world is broken. It's full of pain and trauma, bitterness. And that's just us. There's an enemy out there trying to make it harder. And if you think that it's just going to be you that's going to make things okay, that you're just going to stand firm without His peace, you got another thing coming, because there's storms coming. There's issues and troubles in your life that you have yet to experience that are on their way, and the only thing that you're going to do to survive is to receive the gift that God has given His life to give you. Because He hasn't just called us for this life, He's called us for a life to come. So I call and I beg and I urge and I plead and I encourage in any other way that I can to try to call you to come and lay down the masks on your face. The masks that try to hide the hurt and the pain, the bitterness, the gossip, the lust, all the things, the chains that bind you to the old way of sin and life that you used to have, so that you can be real and authentic and actually filled with peace and joy. Lay it down. Right here at the altars. And that's where you find honest healing. Honest healing. Not fake. Real healing. I want to share this with you. It's very personal, very close to my heart. Just a few years ago, I lost my grandfather. And in that moment, I was both grandson and pastor. And as I stood next to his casket and I was looking at everybody and I was encouraging everybody, my heart was broken on the inside because of the grief and the loss that I had. My name, if you didn't know, is Johnny Edward Elliott IV. He was the second junior. And I felt real loss. He was a pastor just like me. He loved the Lord. He did all this wonderful stuff. But can I tell you that I had perfect peace whenever he passed away? Not because of anything that he did or the value that he gave, not because of who he ministered to. And can I tell you that there was a lot of people there that were there celebrating what he had done for them. But I had peace of heart and mind in that moment of finality because I knew that he was healthier and happier where he was than where he had ever been before, and that all those people celebrating what he did and my broken heart because of what we felt like we lost was at peace, not because of what he did, but because of all of what Jesus did. My heart was released of grief in that moment, although I acknowledged my loss. I know that it's impossible to lose someone when you know where they are already. So what exactly is this peace? Where does it come from? It comes from hope in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Whenever Jesus himself gives us this word through John, he says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain, all of these things are gone forever. In the moment that God needed to comfort his disciples, in the moment that God needed to comfort John, in the moment that God needs to comfort his church, in the moment that he needs to comfort us specifically, the most is not a moment where Jesus took to tell us how to escape the issues, how to escape the problem, how to run away from the disaster. But he told us how it all ended. And somehow, knowing how things end changed the way that we live in the middle of the issue, doesn't it? It's not the end. Can I tell you, you may not believe this, but I've read the Bible. At the end, we win. And I think that there's some people here that need to be reminded of the ending. That this broken world that is filled with hurt, that everything that caused you to be sick, everything that caused us to be filled with tears, everything that challenged us, everything that stood between us and a real authentic relationship with God, all of the brokenness will be itself broken. And we will have life. And what we're living now is a foretaste, a glimpse into the eternity to come because of what he's done. As Christians, that's the blessed hope. And can I be honest with you? As a believer, a passionate believer of Jesus, a passionate follower of Jesus, I refuse to put on a mask because it detracts from the actual blessing of what God has prepared for me. I don't have to fake joy. I have real joy. I don't have to fake happiness. I don't have to fake blessing. I don't have to fake relationship. I don't have to fake love. It's all real, not because of me, but because of him, because of his promise, because I believe it, because I have lived it out my life. You might be here and you're struggling and dealing with difficulties, with real grief and real brokenness in your life. with Jesus, with him, we have hope and glory and love and peace. Real grief with real Jesus means that our hearts are going to be broken just enough to allow his peace to pour into us. But there's some people here that know all too well that without Jesus, that grief, that sin, that shame, that rejection, all the nasty trash in our life, it will crush us into the ground. So today, I want each and every one of us to decide we're going to live without a mask. We're not going to try to push the trash down just to have a little bit more Jesus, but we're going to invite him in and actually do the work, reject the sin, live a different life so that we can be different ourselves and have real fruit grow out of the mess that used to be our life. Would you stand with me all over this place? Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you right now, Lord. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would move across each one of our hearts and our lives, Lord, and reveal to us, Lord, the places where we are refusing, Lord, out of our pride, our arrogance, our fear of hoping one more time, Lord, that things will be different. Or perhaps there's people here this morning that are afraid at this message because they've tried it before and it didn't work. It worked for a little while, but then they just got tired and they gave up. But Lord, I pray, God, that you'd be here today, that you'd reassure their hearts, give them the confidence, not of their ability to sustain it again, but Lord, give them the confidence of your everlasting, almighty power that is at work in their lives that can sustain it for us. Lord, let us be people that walk in authentic, genuine love and peace, because we've allowed you to come in and do your work in your mighty name. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, you're here this morning and you say, Pastor John, I want to know Jesus. I want to be genuine and authentic, and I want his love and his peace to be in my life. I don't know how to get there except for him anymore. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe it's just been such a long time that you've experienced his peace, you just want to experience again. If you're here, would you just raise your hand all over? I want to know that I'm praying for you. Raise your hand if you're responding to this message. Yes, 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 I see you. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you right over there. Yes, I see you in the back right there. Wow. Looking all over. This is the most important moment. Thank you. Yes, I see you. Wow. Wow. Heavenly Father, you see the hearts and the hands that have been lifted, Lord, responding to this message. Lord, that their mask would be removed, that they would walk in genuine peace and joy and love, Lord, with you, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that they would be welcomed into your kingdom, Lord. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would walk with them, Lord, as they acknowledge you as the Lord of their life. I pray, God, that you would clean them from the inside out. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he's done in these hearts and lives? Wow. You know, I believe that God has called us to something more here. You know, I really truly believe that maybe there's some people that are going to be, that need to be responding, not just with a hand raised, not just inside of their heart, but physically responding to this message by stepping out and walking to the altar, not because this is magic or mysterious, but because sometimes overcoming a spiritual barrier takes a physical act of faith. So I want to invite you, if you'd like to come and have prayer, if you'd like to respond to this message, or you want to just meet with a prayer partner down here to pray about anything in your life, you need healing or you need God to perform a miracle, can I tell you that God is not out of the business of miracles? And we believe that God desires to act in hearts and lives of individuals. I want to see miracles happen. I want to see God move. I want to see God transform hearts and lives. So if you're here today and you want to step out and have prayer at these altars are open and available, and our prayer partners are going to make themselves available to you. I believe that Jesus is calling us for something more as a church. I believe that Jesus is doing a deeper work in our lives and in our hearts as a church. And it takes each and every one of us to be authentic and genuine. To walk around our communities, our homes, our jobs, our families, not wearing masks. Can I tell you? We all know what a fake mask looks like. Let's commit to not ever wear a fake mask and be His genuine people, because that's how we find God, that's how we give hope, and that's how God has called us to do life together. Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You, Lord, for each and every one of these people. I pray, God, that You would authentically do a work in our lives. I pray that You would meet us with the power of Your Spirit, and I pray, God, that You will bless us and empower us to walk out of here changed, redeemed, and ready to do Your work. Lord, help us, Lord, to be a people that love others enough to invite them to come along our faith journey. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.